listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And greetings, my friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. Tom Hartman here with you. Wow, the moon is going to be, Mars, the planet of war. Tonight at 1 a.m., arguably 2 a.m., or arguably Tuesday morning, but this night, Eastern time, there will be a total lunar eclipse that most of us in the United States can see, and Mars will be at its closest approach to the Earth in 6 years prior to the eclipse. This is called a blood moon eclipse. The moon will appear to be red. Whoa. And you can see the details of Mars with a 6-inch telescope with 118 power eyepiece. That's not a lot. I mean, it's nice, but it's kind of beats Galileo. But that's still pretty impressive. So there's that. We've got armed right-wing militia members descending on Nevada. In the next hour, one of them is going to drop by and say hello to you and me. You've got this crazy anti-Semitic guy who just killed 3 people. He had been on David Pakman's radio show a year or so ago, talking about how the biggest problem America has is the Jews. And he just killed 3 Jews. And we think we have to worry about Al-Qaeda? I mean, this guy actually ran for the United States Senate on a platform of Jews and mud people was his phrase. And now he's killed somebody. This family, the Bundy family, just makes you think of All in the Family. What was that show with Christina Applegate? Married with Children. There you go. Yeah, Al Bundy is having a problem. It's not Al, but whatever his name is. What is his name? I got it here someplace. Cliven. Cliven. What a biblical name. I mean, I don't know if it's biblical or not, but it's kind of sounding. And Louise and I went to see Noah on Saturday. And I wanted to talk to you about that. I want to get into that at some length after this first rant here I want to share with you. I actually printed out Genesis 5 through 11. It's an amazing movie. I think that it's one of the best acted movies that I have seen in a long time. I mean, really brilliant, powerful, brought me to tears 3 or 4 times in the movie acting. And I went in with total suspension of disbelief. I mean, we all know the story, right? You know, God's going to destroy the earth. He says to Noah, build an ark. Our Noah builds the ark, puts his wife and his kids and their wives on board, along with all the animals. And 40 days and 40 nights it rains, and about 150 days later, they run into Mount Ararat and get out and start the world all over again. Right? Okay, so did I just blow the movie for you? I don't think so. But that's the movie. But I got to tell you, we'll talk about it a little later. If you haven't seen the movie yet, don't worry. I'm not going to ruin it for you because this is the kind of movie that can't be ruined. In fact, it's the kind of movie where if you hear a conversation about the odd details of it, it'll make it even more fascinating. There's a Zen koan in this movie. I was talking to a friend of mine in Los Angeles this morning, and it was very much in the movie business. And I said, remember that Zen story, that Buddhist story about the Zen master is chased to the edge of a cliff by a tiger, and he's hanging on by a branch about a foot below the edge, and the branch is starting to pull out of the roots of the branch are starting to pull out, and the tiger is standing at the top, and he's going to die. No doubt about it. And he looks up and he sees a strawberry. Or a berry. And he picks it, and he tastes it, and he says, what a delicious taste. And that's the end of the story, because he's going to die, right? Anyhow, having told you that little Zen story, I think you will find, and this is one of the most famous stories in all of Zen Buddhism. I mean, you know, it's just a big deal. I'm surprised right-wingers aren't screaming about that in the movie. I won't tell you any more than that because I don't want to ruin the movie for you. Anyhow, but a bigger issue here, I think, is this recent study that just came out. It was just published over the weekend. Washington politicians basically don't give a damn about you or me. They only answer to the billionaires and the giant corporations. And thanks to 40 years of Supreme Court decisions, American politics now is no longer about the will of the people. It's only about the money. And therefore, we no longer have a functioning democracy in America. We have a kleptocracy, an oligarchy. I mean, years of corporate-friendly Supreme Court decisions like Citizens United, Buckley, First National Bank, they've rigged and corrupted American politics so badly that average hardworking Americans have basically no influence in D.C. Instead, our, quote, elected officials, end quote, are only answering to the wishes of the, you know, the rich people and special interest groups like the NRA, well-funded special interest groups. They published this study in a magazine called Perspectives on Politics. The authors were Martin Gillens of Princeton University and Benjamin Page of Northwestern University. And what they discovered was they were just looking at, you know, people, what people wanted versus what got passed into law. And what they found was that when the wealthy elite or powerful interest groups want policy passed or not passed, it gets passed or not passed. Washington listens. But when we, the people, average working people, speak up, sound out about a particular policy or piece of legislation, like, hey, for example, extending unemployment benefits, our politicians completely ignore us. You know, in Citizens United, John Paul Stevens wrote the dissent, as I recall, and he made a really important point. He said from the bench, and I quote, this is from the Citizens United dissent, he said, when citizens turn on their television and radios before an election and hear only corporate electioneering, they may lose faith in their capacity as citizens to influence public policy. A government captured by corporate interests, they may come to believe, will be neither responsive to their needs nor willing to give their views a fair hearing. The predictable result is cynicism and disenchantment, an increased perception that large spenders call the tune, and a reduced willingness of voters to take part in democratic governance. End of quote from the dissent in Citizens United. John Paul Stevens added, he went on to say, unlimited corporate and fat cat money would also scare the hell out of the politicians themselves, so they'd only do what the rich guys wanted, and to hell with the average voter. He said, quote, to the extent that corporations are allowed to exert undue influence in electoral races, the speech of the eventual winners of those races may also be chilled. Politicians who fear that a certain corporation can make or break their reelection chances may be cowed into silence about that corporation, end of quote. 4 years later, 4 years and 3 months later, we discover that Justice John Paul Stevens was totally right. In this study that Gillens and Page did, they wrote, quote, ordinary citizens have little or no independent influence on policy at all. They went on to say that the wealthy elite have, quote, a quite substantial, highly significant independent impact on policy, more so than any other set of actors. And special interest groups, if they're well-funded, quote, they have a large, positive, highly significant impact on public policy. They looked at over 1,700 issues over a 20-year period, which is about how long it's been. I mean, it's been a little more than 20 years since Buckley and First National Bank, since we first got this idea that corporations should have free speech rights. It's insane. It's killing our democracy.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
And if we want to do something about that, get over to movetoamend.org. We'll be there. Welcome back. Andrew Campbell's with us. He's producer of The Big Picture. Hey, Andrew, how you doing?
Hey, Tom. Thanks for having me.
So what's up on the show tonight?
We're going to be starting off talking about the new GOP death panels. A new poll was released last Thursday that basically says that the Republican decision to put politics ahead of the lives of millions of Americans in the form of not expanding Medicaid is going to have some potentially severe political consequences for Republicans across the country. Right now, from Kansas to Florida to Pennsylvania, GOP governors are losing in their reelection bids. And the correlation is strongly in favor. That is because they haven't expanded Medicaid. An overwhelming majority of Americans in all of those states want Medicaid expanded. So it looks like they're going
to... for people who might not get the subtlety or the nuance or the detail of this, Medicaid expansion only affects people who are working. So we're not talking about the lazy bums out there, in quotes. We're not talking about Reagan's welfare queens. We're talking about people who are working, but they are earning probably minimum wage or thereabouts, and so they don't make enough to qualify for subsidies under Obamacare, but they make too much. They're too rich. They're making over $4,000 or $5,000 a year, too much to qualify for the Medicaid insurance that the states run, these red states run, just for the totally disabled or deathly poor people. And so they're stuck in this red state donut hole, and they don't qualify. And what Obamacare would have done is give billions of dollars to these states, 100% free for 3 years and 90% forever after that, to pay for free health insurance for these working poor people. And Rick Scott says, no, I don't want to take it. And Charlene Dill dies. Right?
Absolutely. Got it. Perfect right there.
Back to you, brother.
It should be an interesting discussion. And you'll be having a debate with a conservative, so it should be a good segment. Then we're going to move on from there. We're going to be talking about what's going on in Nevada right now. A rancher down in Nevada has for years been allowing his cattle to graze on federal lands, and he has been given multiple federal court orders to cease and desist from letting his cattle do that. He's defying the court orders, and now armed militia members have come to his support, and it's pretty interesting what's going on down there. And we're going to be getting into the story and talking about whether these militia members are the new warlords, so to speak.
Yeah, and whether the Koch brothers are helping fund this thing or Hannity or whatnot, because they just, hey, if we can destroy the idea of public lands, there's lots of land with lots of oil on it that they would love to drill on.
It's the Koch brothers' dream.
Yeah, there
absolutely.
You go.
And okay. Then we're going to be talking about rising sea levels and how it relates to climate change. The newest information out with Dr. Radley Horton. He is a professor at Columbia University and also works with NASA's Goddard Institute for Space Studies. And then we're going to move on to that. In Block D, we'll have a fairly unique Everything You Know Is Wrong segment. And in tonight's Daily Take, you're basically going to be summing up the rant you just gave about how American democracy no longer works for you and me. It only works for the wealthy elite and multi-billion-dollar private interest groups.
Yeah, and what's so really tragic about this, Andrew, is that 4 years ago, Justice John Paul Stevens, in his dissent, he was actually quoting earlier opinions. He was quoting Buckley, the 1976 decision. And he said that if the average citizen figures out that the system is rigged because of this decision, they're going to stop voting. They're going to stop participating. And that's happening right now. It's a tragedy.
Yeah, he saw the writing on the wall.
Yeah, he really did. Andrew Campbell, senior producer of The Big Picture. Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks.
Welcome back. John Harbin here with you. And, excuse me, I just saw the topic of Armin's phone call. We'll get to you, Armin. As I said, we're going to get into this rancher in the next hour, which should be interesting. But I just wanted to share with you, Louise and I saw this movie Noah over the weekend. And normally I don't make a movie, the subject of a talk show. But this has become so controversial. You've got all these right-wing Christians freaked out about it. And I think they're freaked out. Jesus doesn't appear in the movie. Of course, this is an Old Testament story. In fact, it's from Genesis, the first book of the Old Testament. So it's kind of like, 2,000-4,000 years before Jesus. But and you've got, Russell Crowe plays Noah? Good-looking guy, and what an incredible voice. Russell Crowe has the voice that my whole life wished I. He can talk, boy. He's just got this incredible voice. Anyhow, according to the Bible, according to the movie, it's Russell Crowe was the father of Shem and Ham and Japheth Sabbath. But according to the Bible, he was 500 years old when he became the father of them. He doesn't quite look 500 years old in the movie, but anyway. And all the sons had daughters in the Bible. So the movie took some considerable liberties with the original story. And their daughters made it onto the family. In fact, Genesis 7:13, on that very day, Noah and his sons Shem, Ham, and Japheth, together with his wife and the wives of his three sons, entered the ark. And this is in the 600th year of Noah's life, on the 17th day of the second month. And Methuselah was his grandfather, and Methuselah appears in the form of, oh, what's his name? Silence of the Lambs. Who's the actor? Anthony Hopkins. And he plays Methuselah, you know, the oldest man who ever lived. And actually, if you do the math in the Bible, it looks like Methuselah actually did die the year that the flood started. So it's interesting. And here's a couple of other interesting things that, you know, are sort of not said, but if you watch the movie knowing this, you get it. I was back when we started the Children's Village in New Hampshire years ago. Louise and I have been vegetarian since we were 16, 17 years old. And it was a vegetarian program. And the Seventh-day Adventists took a real like to us. The Seventh-day Adventists read the Bible. You know, in the Bible, it says, don't eat meat. Basically, it says, you know, just eat vegetables. They're there for you. And it isn't until after the flood, up until the flood, everybody's living 600, 700, 800 years long, right? And even Noah finally died when he was 600 and something. But after the flood, God blessed Noah, and he says, and this is Genesis 9:3, he says, the fear and dread of you will fall on all the beasts of the earth and on all the birds of the sky and on every creature that moves along the ground and all the fish in the sea. They are given into your hands. Everything that lives and moves about will be food for you. Just as I gave you the green plants, I now give you everything. And what the Seventh-day Adventists will tell you, and or at least what they told me, I don't want to represent myself as any kind of expert on Seventh-day Adventist doctrine. I've attended a few of their services. They were kind enough to donate some books and a lot of food and helped out a lot when we were building houses for kids. The local Seventh-day Adventist community up in New Hampshire went back in the late 70s when we were building a community for abused kids. But what they told me, and I'm assuming that this is the absolute, you know, the actual doctrine, is that back before the flood, everybody was vegetarian. After the flood, Noah started, and Noah's son started eating meat. They lived fairly long, but that was pretty much the end of it. After that, and in fact, in the Bible, it just even says God rebooted the life. Okay, Noah lived 950 years, then he died. 350 years after the flood. But it basically says that God decided that humans would only live 120 years. And I thought I had highlighted that, but apparently I haven't. But it's here in Genesis. You can find it. And so anyhow, that and then what the Seventh-day Adventists say is, you know, you want to live long, eat vegetarian. But I'm curious, if you saw the movie Noah, or even if you didn't and you want to opine on this, I mean, this goes back to my theory. There's an almost word for word, or certainly idea for idea, story of a biblical flood in the Epic of Gilgamesh, which is, you know, 3,000 years before the Bible. And I believe there's an old Zoroastrian tradition of it also. And so I would bet that on the edge of the agricultural revolution around 6,000 years ago, there was probably some family that lived in a boat. And there was some sort of incredible rain event, right? I mean, a really bad year and it just rained like crazy. and the local town got flooded and lots of people died? Or maybe a dam burst, or maybe an iceberg melted, or, you know, I don't know what. I mean, they end up in Mount Ararat, so this is probably, it was probably an inland lake. And probably the family in the boat survived and everybody else didn't. And, you know, it gets told, the story gets told and passed down over and over and over again, and boom, you've got a Noah's Ark story. But the thing to remember is, like in Genesis, I mean, you know, Adam and Eve had three sons. One killed the other and then got kicked out and went off to the next town over and found a wife. So Adam and Eve, and for that matter, the Noah story, these are not the stories of all of humanity. They're the stories of one tribe, the Hebrew tribe. And every religion has stories like this.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-987-THOM.
I think the most powerful thing for me in the movie was the idea of judges and perceivers, of the power of religious fanaticism when in the hands of somebody who sees the world in black and white. Talk media for the sane among us. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. Koch Brothers, by the way, big time supporting this land dispute in Nevada. We are going to, you know, get into this in more detail in the next hour. But Americans for Prosperity has been putting out video. You know, they've created graphics. They're pushing this thing all over AFP Nevada. This is our First Amendment area. How much BLM, the BLM spent how much to round up our cattle? $1 million? Holy cow. These vicious criminals have been trespassing on public land, and they show cows. Americans for Prosperity tweeting this stuff, creating hashtags, really pushing this stuff. And then of course, Sean Hannity pushing it on his TV program, probably his radio program. That's a great way to get right-wing crazies with guns out. And the government did back down. They said, okay, cool, you can trespass on public lands. Now, why would the Koch brothers care about this? Could be, I mean, they are oil barons. And there is a lot of oil on public lands that the government doesn't let the oil barons drill because it's like the Grand Canyon. And if we could just break down that whole idea of public lands, people who trespass don't get fined. Bring the wells! So anyhow, we'll get into that in the next hour. But my thoughts and yours. If you've seen this movie, Noah, I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. Tanisha in Seattle. Hey, Tanisha, what's up?
Hey, how you doing, Tom?
Good. What's up?
I was listening to what you were saying, like about this movie, Noah.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you know, a lot of the issue is that religion is leaving us because a lot of the things that we've been taught, like as far as homosexuality. You know, that's like Sodom and Gomorrah,
mm-hmm.
or whatnot, you know. But I look at it like this. It clearly states that Satan's job is to kill, steal, and destroy. And so the whole time, when it comes down to it, he's going to put things in your face to make you believe that it's not what it really is. One of my questions to you, though, was this, that from what I've heard or what I've been reading or whatnot, that in this Obamacare situation that we're going to, at some point in time, have to have chips inserted into us as far as tracking for medical reasons
yeah.
and whatnot.
Yeah. That's not part of Obamacare.
It's not a part of Obamacare.
No, absolutely not.
Is it a mandatory thing to have done?
No. No.
No.
No. There's some people who started that theory. And I think they were anti, you know, people who hated President Obama, and they were looking for ways to take him down, and they thought that this might scare enough people that they would be opposed to Obamacare. And just like Sarah Palin with her death panels, it's another lie. Typically the people who are using these chips that can be read with RFID readers are either people who want to put them in their pets, so if they're dog gets lost, the dog pound can scan the dog and say, oh, it's George's dog. Or there are people who live in very high density areas where they're worried about their children getting lost. People who live in like Manhattan or something, kids are playing in the park, They're afraid that the kid might get snatched or that the kid might just plain old get lost. And so they're putting the chips in the kid, you know, and when you get the age of a majority, you can go to the doctor and say, take that damn thing out. But as far as I know, that's pretty much the only people who are using them. There might be some Alzheimer's treatment facilities that are using them to keep track of the inmates. That would make a certain amount of sense. But there is no plan to chip everybody in America. Ain't happening. It's not the mark of the beast. Revelation is not here. So,
part of saying that they're then like when they're talking about using like they've been speaking upon it as far as medical conditions are concerned, to where they'll be able to scan you to where you can. I mean, they've already been asserting it to like government officials, correct?
No. There may be some Navy SEALs who have these things so that they can be identified if they get killed or people like that, special ops. I don't know. Makes a certain amount of sense that maybe they would do that, but maybe they wouldn't, because you wouldn't want if they get captured, you wouldn't want people to know who they were. I think mostly they wear dog tags for that.
I mean, you have sex offenders who are hard to keep track of.
Well, they have ankle bracelets for that. I mean, we've got
by no means, right?
Yeah, I mean, there is no plan to put chips in anybody that I know of, and I've gotten these emails, these hysterical emails from people, and they are almost always from some right-wing source, some group that hates Obama, and they're all about how the Obama administration is going to get you, and Obamacare is going to get you, and et cetera, et cetera, and they're all lies. So don't worry about it, Tanisha. It's and in fact, if you go to Snopes.com, Snopes.com, you can see many of these myths actually debunked, where they'll show you the actual proof that it ain't so. So, Tanisha, I got to move along, but thank you for the call. Lou in Burrell, California. Hey, Lou, what's up?
Are you talking to Lou?
Yeah.
I just seen that citizens elect thing, a few years ago. They brought that in. Now, the new one is, was it $130,000 now you can donate?
Yeah, well, there was an aggregate limit. You could give up to $123,200, I think it was, in total political contributions to various politicians. And now, in the McCutcheon case, they just ended that. You can give an infinite amount of money.
Okay, which is everybody in the country, right? We can all do that now. Okay,
yeah.
So what I mean,
but there's fewer than 2,000 people in the United States who have ever hit that limit.
Okay, well, that's okay. So Jefferson was one of the ones that decided that you shouldn't be able to vote if you didn't have any land. Well,
no, not true. Jefferson was opposed to that idea. Go back and read the.
Was one of who was it? I got that mixed up, sir.
Alexander Hamilton actually proposed that, but he later withdrew it. There was a very small group of people, mostly,
Will that be that the Republicans decide that you have to be a landowner or have $500,000 in the bank? Will that be the next thing that our court has?
God only knows. God only knows, Lou. I mean, we're certainly moving in that direction. Basically, they don't even have to. They don't have to say that you have to be rich in order to vote. All they have to do is make your vote not matter. And that's, by and large, what they've done. No matter who you vote for, no matter how you vote, the politicians are responding to big money, because the situation that has been established by the Supreme Court is that big money gets to call the tune. A good point, though, Lou. Thanks a lot for the call. Afshin. In Denver, listening on AM 760, you see a parallel between Genesis and the movie 2001? Odyssey?
Thank you for taking my call. Yeah, do you recall the movie 2001, A Space Odyssey?
Oh, I saw it in Detroit on a big screen, tripping, actually. I probably shouldn't admit that on the air, but...
The theme song was composed by Richard Strauss and was called Thou Said Zarathustra.
Yeah, thus sprach Zarathustra. Thus speaks Zarathustra, yes.
Exactly. And it was about the book of Genesis. So the book of Genesis that in the Bible is referring to is purely Zoroastrian.
Right. And the Zoroastrian tradition, which predates the Bible, has a flood story in it, too.
Exactly. That is true. I just wanted to comment on that it was the Richard Strauss did compose that piece, and it was
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Thank you, Option. Or as they would say in Germany, it was Richard Strauss. Anyhow, Ed in Klamath Falls, Oregon. Hey, Ed, the flood?
Yeah, the flood. It's not a story. There was a flood, and we used to have Ice Age civilizations people were living in the English Channel because that used to be the seacoast. They're currently doing archaeology there right now, underwater archaeology.
Oh, you're absolutely right. And all off the coast, all along the Mediterranean, there's all those underwater cities all, you know, in Italy and Greece. You're absolutely right.
The real civilization was off the coast of India. They followed rivers out in where they dug channels in the old days when there was an ice age, and there were people living along what used to be rivers. And there also, the last time there was a tsunami, the waves drew back and they could see buildings under the water.
Yeah.
I've been waiting 30 years for them to do the underwater archaeology around India. They claim that the waters are so shark infested they can't do it. I really don't believe it. I think somehow the white people have suppressed the information. They won't, you know, they won't fund it. They maybe India is too poor to.
Could just be. I think that latter is it. You know, the Indian government just doesn't have the money.
People started civilization.
Yeah, but well, and that's an interesting thing about Noah is that in the movie Noah, all the people are white, and yet Noah was Semitic. He was a Semite. He was, you know, he was a brown person from the Middle East. And it reminds me of that. There's a you can see the picture of it in a nice article about it over at the thinkprogress.org blog. There's a wealthy community. I forget where it is. And the pastor of a local church, right out in front of the church, put a piece of art, where you sit, you know, a park bench. Yeah, park bench. And on this park bench is this bronze statue of Jesus wrapped up in a blanket like he's a homeless person. And you can see his feet and you can see the stigmata in his feet. It's Jesus. And some rich person driving by in a Beamer called 911 and said, there's a homeless guy in front of the church. Somebody called the cops on Jesus. It's pretty amazing. But anyway, I digress. Jesus also was Semitic. Jesus was not a white guy. It's just amazing how things get reinvented. Ed, thanks a lot for the call. I'm surprised, you know, in all the criticisms that I've seen or heard of Noah, that has not been one of them. You know, that it's all Northern Europeans, when in fact it should be Middle Easterners. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
And way back then, the Middle Easterners may have even been a lot darker than they are now, because there have been a lot of waves of you know, from the north of conquest over the years. Well, apparently not a lot of people saw the movie. Because I don't have any calls from somebody who actually saw the movie. I would love to discuss it with somebody who had. But anyhow. We will get around to it. Rolando, maybe at the end of the week. Rolando, in Granada Hills, California. You wanted to talk about mass extinctions?
Yeah, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Thank you for taking my call. Yeah, I like to, if you can have the chance to have this great geology, Richard Alley from Pennsylvania University. He did a study in 2003 along with about 30 scientists that explain exactly how the ice age thing happened, you know, the ice age, because we've been having 20 ice ages in the last 2 million years, very well defined. And I wish to have this guy to explain to, we've been having different floods in each ice age in a space of 100,000 years each one, with an average of 90,000 building the ice and about 10,000 melting the ice. And it's not relating with the cycle of the sun that you were talking about before, about the Mohalo Beach, that the sun, the air is going a little bit far away, the orbit of the Earth is a little more, every 100,000 years. They didn't find any evidence, you know, for that, needed meteorites. So the evidence that this scientist found was that the most have to do with the plate tectonic motion, you know, when the mountains are building, like ages happened because the Central America appeared about 3 million years ago and interrupted the current from the Atlantic to the Pacific. And that's
that 3.2 million years ago that happened, and that was a big deal when the Isthmus of Panama closed basically, and it stopped the flow of warm Pacific Ocean water into the Atlantic, and began what we call the Great Conveyor Belt, that current of water that comes from the Pacific, goes around the southern tip of South Africa, and ends up off the coast of Greenland. You're right about that. But if you look at the periodicity, the regularity, the regular frequency of the ice ages and the CO2, that correlates with them, it is so predictable that, I thought that, and in fact, somebody called this program last week and said, it's not that the Earth is getting closer or farther from the sun. It's that the Earth tilts on its axis in such a way that the solar energy is less, right now it's more concentrated in the equatorial regions, and when the Earth changes its axis slightly, it becomes more diffuse somehow. And I confess I don't understand that, unless it has to do with the rotation of the Earth. Right now, the rotation of the Earth, apparently the equator lines up with the sun, right? So if the Earth rotates so that the equator lines up with the sun, if the Earth were to rotate...
27,000 cycles that you're talking about.
Yeah.
This is another issue. Please watch The Big Chill. The movie is by Richard Alley.
Okay.
Big Chill. And I encourage everybody to go to the website and go. This guy is really honest, you know. He's a PhD in the ice study.
Mm-hmm.
And he started to study about 30 years ago. And he's been passed all the time studying this very deeply.
Okay. The Big Chill. I'll check it out. Rolando, thanks for the heads up. And thanks for the call. And thanks for watching Free Speech TV. We'll be right back. Brain, the Tom Hartman program. Welcome back. And Bobby in Denver, listening on AM 760. Hey, Bobby, what's up?
Hey, Tom. I wanted to ask you about in your book, The Last Hours of Age Sunlight, you said that all power-structured societies have failed since the beginning of time, so that means the United States is going to fail eventually?
You'll have to give me my own quote with a little more detail, because I don't remember saying something in those words.
I believe it's your book. I've read a lot of books. I thought it was The Last Hours of Age Sunlight. You talked about how all power-structured societies have failed since the beginning of time, that only tribal cultures...
What I pointed out is that societies that end up highly hierarchical, where somebody, and this is kind of a Daniel Quinnism, somebody locks up the food, somebody ends up in charge, somebody ends up controlling everything, that those kind of societies are unsustainable, and they do go through periods of boom and bust, whether it was the Sumerians or the Romans or the Greeks or the Aztecs or the Mayans or us. Yeah, I think our society will crash. In fact, that was the big warning that was issued just a few weeks ago, not by the IPCC, but by the World Bank.
Right.
So have I answered your question?
Yeah, you did. That last caller was talking about the ice age. You know, another thing that causes the ice age is when these megavolcanoes go off. You know, the Yellowstone megavolcano was like 12,000 years overdue.
Yeah, and if Yellowstone goes off, it's going to kill a lot of people. It's going to be a major disaster. But, yeah, you're right. In fact, there's some speculation that 85,000 years ago, roughly, there was a major bottleneck event where most humans on Earth died off. Maybe 15 or 20,000 survived. And the DNA studies now are starting to corroborate this. And it was the result of a giant volcano going off, probably in the area of Indonesia. Bobby, thanks a lot for the call. Tony in Winchester, California. Hey, Tony, what's up?
Hey, Tom. Thanks for everything you do again. I'm thinking about your buddy's program, The Ring of Fire. And now we're actually into the Ring of Fire, and we're entering the decade of decadence. And so I'm thinking about, those are fun ideas, and they're funny, and they're clever. And I'm thinking, especially after your guest last week, so informative about where we are as far as layers and layers of layers and layers of stuff that we've accumulated, that it's going to coming out over time. That it's almost virtually impossible to stop what we're doing with the atmosphere. And at the same time, and I agree, at the same time, I think, so what can you do? and I brought this question up before. You've got to get the people who are getting screwed, which is about 80-90% of the people in the United States, totally getting taken advantage of. You have to get them educated to the point where they're not threatened. They're told exactly what's going on in their own language. In other words, according to their ability to comprehend. And if you can get a system like that, and that's a concatenation of systems, perhaps there's something that we can do.
I think it's going to be much simpler than that, Tony. If you're talking about educating the public about climate change, I think that as the drought gets worse in California, particularly if there's an El Nino this summer, and there's a very high chance that there will be, if not this year, almost certainly next year, the drought gets worse in California. The drought spreads across the Midwest. We see more and more crop failures. Texas right now is going down in flames. I don't know if on Sunday you saw the Showtime special, James Cameron's Years of Living Dangerously. It was all about how this entire town in Texas has been wiped out by drought. And when they went in and they asked people why it was, they all said, well, it's got nothing to do with climate change. You know, I watch Fox News. I know that. I don't think anybody referenced Fox News, but it was pretty obvious. But I think eventually it's going to get so bad that people are going to be unable to deny it any longer. And pretty much that's what's happened in the Philippines after Hurricane, was it Haiyan or something like that, Haiyan? That hurricane turned the Philippines into believers, and they're talking seriously about what can we do now about global climate change. And I think that the Chinese government looked at that and said, whoa. And so we'll see. We'll see. Tony, thanks for the call. Sam in Point Pleasant, West Virginia. Moses?
Yes, sir. Professor Hartman. I just got done reading this book. It's called The Scottish Declaration of Independence.
Mm-hmm.
I might just send it to you so you and Louise can check it out. What they're claiming in the book is when Moses left Egypt and finally he crossed over after, he didn't get to cross over. He didn't get to go to the promised land, right?
Right, okay. But Aaron did.
God took him up. Well, then finally Joshua took all the tribes across, and a couple of the tribes, Ben and Dan, they become the missing tribes, and they're saying in this book they went all the way up to Scotland.
Yeah, it's possible.
Yeah, they just kept going.
It's possible. I mean, who knows? I think that there have been a lot of human migrations of a lot of tribes all over the world, but now that they've found this kind of Kohanim gene, this matrilineal, it's mitochondrial DNA, so it's passed from mother to daughter, and they found this gene that identifies people as having Jewish ancestry, and it's showing up in a lot of surprising places. So, time will tell. Sam, thanks for the call. Art in Newcastle, Maine. We got 1 minute left, Art. It's yours.
Yeah, since we're on the Ice Age, I think people have to look at the timeline. Global warming effects now are accelerating, as you say. But on the long view, if the Arctic Ocean actually becomes open in the winters, it's possible we'll get more snow into the tundra of the Canadian tundra, and then that could possibly bring on an ice age.
It's not inconceivable. I mean, the big concern about an ice age is that the North Atlantic Current will fail. The North Atlantic Current brings warm water from the Pacific Ocean to the North Atlantic. And that current has been running for 11,000 years, and it's been stuttering lately. And if that current fails, then we are in deep doo-doo, or at least Europe is, and most of the east coast of the United States. So we'll see. We'll see. But Art, time's going to tell. We're all... As Guy McPherson says, we all get to watch the end of the movie, or at least one of the later chapters of it, that previous humans never saw. We'll be back.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Hey, friends, Tom Hartman here. Thanks so much for watching and listening to the program. The Tom Hartman Program is brought to you in part by the following underwriters. Identity Guard. Count on us to help protect what makes you, you. WIX.com. Everyone deserves to have their own website. ITMTrading.com. America's source for rare coins and precious metals. BostonBeer.com. Boston Beer. maker of handcrafted beers. Geico.com, providers of insurance. IdentityGuard.com, total protection. Quicken Loans, engineered to amaze. And EcoWine.com, your source for organic wine since 1980. These underwriters support our show, so please help by supporting the people who make this program possible. You can learn more at TomHartmann.com.
You're listening to the Tom Hartmann Program.
Welcome back. Tom Hartmann here with you, and Sean Taylor, our executive producer, booker-in-chief, and all-around chief cook and bottle washer. She, and if you ever want to know, just FYI, the people who run this program, it's not me. I mean, I'm the trained monkey who shows up and does, you know, but Sean and Louise every morning sit down and say, you know, I mean, they solicit my feedback. I participate in the meetings, as does Shane and Danielle and Jim. But they're the ones who really run this show. And Sean actually had nailed down one of these militia guys in Nevada who was going to come on the radio and tell us the story of the Bundy family and why they're out there with guns defying the government for the Bundy's right to basically steal your tax dollars, to graze their cattle for two decades or more on public land, on land that you and I own, altering the nature of that land, by the way, to graze their cattle on land that you and I own and not pay us a fee to do it. And they're saying, well, you know, our family's been grazing cattle on these public lands since 1890-something or whatever. Well, does that make it right? I mean, you know, there was a point where it doesn't mean that you own it. There was a point at which we started saying, you know, if you want to use our public land, you can pay us for the damage you're doing to it. Cattle do a lot of damage to land. But the guy backed out 10 minutes ago, just 10 minutes ago, called up and said, oh, sorry, I can't do it. I don't know, maybe they were listening to the show and they heard something I said in the last hour, because I did point out that the Koch brothers, Americans for Prosperity, has been hyping this thing, has been pushing it. And that hyping has apparently, as has Sean Hannity, and that hyping apparently has helped a whole bunch of guys, good old boys with guns, to show up in Nevada and say, we're here for this family's right to steal public money. We're willing to have them take our tax dollars. And I'm scratching my head going, really? When did it become a conservative value, a Fox News value, to cheat on your taxes? Or it's not even taxes. To steal, basically, the money from we the people. I mean, if this had been some other family's land, they would have had to pay the other family. Now it's all of us. It's our land. But they don't want to pay us. Say to hell with you guys. We're going to take the cattle. We're going to feed them there. We're going to slaughter them. We're going to take the profit. But we're not going to pay you. So you've got all these guys with guns showing up to defend the right to rip off the American taxpayer. Can somebody explain to me the right-wing logic of this? I mean, this militia guy who was going to show up, I had no intention whatsoever of attacking him or making him or try to make him look foolish. I just want to understand, you know, knowing that these people are tax cheats, why are you supporting them? Unless you hate all taxes, but this isn't a tax like, you know, an income tax. This is actually, you're using the property of the United States government, which is all of us, and you're refusing to pay for it. And so, therefore, we all have to pay for it. And how is that a conservative value? Other than that it has to do with cattle and cowboys and guns and the Western Range. I mean, that seems to be the through meme. You know, liberals must have to do with New York City, and this, you know, if it's out in Nevada, it's got to be conservative. I don't understand. Montana militia member Jim Lordy, he says, we provide armed response. He traveled to Nevada to help out. He says, we need guns to protect ourselves from the tyrannical government. Right, the tyrannical government that simply wants to say, you know what they should do? And in fact, what I think, I'll bet this is the BLM's next step. You got this family that for a couple of decades has not paid the fee for grazing their cattle on the land. A, they could go to a different family and say, hey, you want to use this land? Although that's sort of snarky. And there might not be another family that has a lot of land that is contiguous with this land. So the easier thing to do would be to say, you know, we're going to garnish. I mean, I'm assuming these people have a bank account. And you get a court order and you go in and you take the money out of the bank account. Say, you know, you don't want to pay us voluntarily, you pay us involuntarily. That's what happens with your taxes. Tomorrow is tax day. And if you don't pay your income taxes, they come after you. And we all agree that that's the right thing. In fact, one of the few things that most Americans are united on is that they think that tax loopholes should be closed, that everybody should pay, the fair share of taxes. Poor people should pay a lot less. Rich people should pay more. Rich people are using the commons much more aggressively. Thank you. Oh, and guess who it is that these guys are fighting against? Executive Order 12548 said that there would be annual fees for grazing domesticated livestock on public lands. And guess who signed that executive order in 1986? Well, who was president? Ronald Reagan. So this family wants to defy Ronald Reagan.
There you go again.
Really. It's just, it's really, I mean, it's, well, Mark in Las Vegas. Hey, Mark, you've been following the Bundy story. This is happening in your state. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, yes. I'm certainly on your side of the aisle on this one. I'm sorry that the militia guy didn't come on the show, as I was going to suggest that really what they're for is anarchy. I mean, the Bundy family has been in court a couple of times. They've had their say. They've lost. They don't have a legal leg to stand on here. I think you may be hitting the nail on the head in a sense that BLM might go in, say when they sell their cattle, they can't keep them out there forever. When they sell that cattle, we're just going to seize some of those assets, that money,
right. And
make sure that you pay your fees whether you want to or not. That's what I do. And it's like, well, you know, turnabout's fair play. You don't like what we're doing as BLM, take us to court and let's let your lawyers hash it out and see how much money you want to spend.
Yeah. Or see if you can get your money back. I mean, you know, it's not. And here's the incredible irony. When Reagan signed that executive order in 1986, the fees that are set for grazing cattle on public lands are really cheap. I mean, it's a lot cheaper than buying the land.
Yes, they are.
It's a subsidy, essentially.
Right. That land is really marginal anyway. We're talking about desert scrub. Those cattle do a lot of damage out there.
Yeah.
So, you know, and the interesting thing is that when you look at the history of the law on this, it was ranchers who initially asked the federal government to step in back in the early 20th century because there was so much degradation, there were so many bad things going on.
Well, there was also competition among the ranchers. They wanted somebody to play referee. You had range wars, literally range wars, where you had families killing each other over, you know, grazing their land, their animals on public lands. So, excellent point, Mark. Thanks a lot for the call. I appreciate it.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Executive Order 12548, signed in 1986 by Ronald Reagan, says the Bundy family has to pay. It's still cheap, right? It's cheaper than owning the land. And welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. Where'd Armin go? I was going to put him on the air. He vanished. Okay. Well, Jeff in New Lisbon, Wisconsin. Thanks for watching Free Speech TV on the Dish Network. Hey, Jeff, what's up?
Thank you, Tom. This is criminal what this family's doing to the public lands, and why not have the Attorney General Holter make a court order to have them stop?
Well, I think it's a civil offense. They're not paying. They're not paying their bill, and it's not a tax. It's a fee. So it's sort of like, not paying to register your car. Now, I don't know if it's a crime not to pay to register your car. I know it's a car. It's a crime to drive a car that's not registered. So, it may well be that there's criminal activity involved here. Go ahead.
Okay, that's federal land. So why shouldn't Holter, the Attorney General, take action?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you heard his.
Take the president to do it, and don't hold. Don't. There's plenty of things that I think are not really, truly taken action by the Attorney General.
I agree.
He only does it with the president's orders.
Well, and that's how it's supposed to be. But did you catch his speech when he was at Al Sharpton's group, and he was talking to a largely black audience, and he was talking about how Louis Gohmert, this white guy from the South, this Texas white congressman, was disrespecting him in front of Congress. And Eric Holder said, forget about it being me. You know, this isn't about me. I'm not upset about me. He said, but the office of the Attorney General should be respected. And just as Congress should be respected, we should treat each other with respect. And here's this man, you know, casting aspersions upon me and my office, saying that we don't care about contempt of Congress and things like this. He said, this has never happened before. And I think what he was really saying is these Southern white guys don't respect me or the president because we're black. And I think that there's a large part of that. And so now you've got this range war going on, and it's all these, you know, Western white guys who run around with guns and are, you know, totally into the, you know, all the conspiracy theory stuff. And if a black AG was to go after them, I think that would be like pouring gasoline on a fire. And I'm guessing that he's thinking the same way. And that's why they said that they're going to seek administrative remedies. And I think that's code for we're going to garnish their checking account.
And, I believe you're right. That's racist. Thanks for listening.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Jeff. I mean, you know, Holder made the comment, and he made the point, actually, not just the comment, that no president in history has put up with this kind of stuff. You know, show us your birth certificate, yelling you lie during a State of the Union address. I mean, no president in history has put up with this. And we've had some pretty damn contentious, you know, candidacies and campaigns and everything else. And no attorney general has ever put up with this. Well, we've never had a black president. We've never had a black attorney general. White racism in this country is not only alive and well, but over the last 6 years, it's actually been making a comeback. That's the bad news. The good news is that it's largely confined to people over 40. And mostly to over people over 60. This guy went out and killed 3 Jewish people this week. You know, he's all about the anti-Semitism, all about the Jews and the, quote, mud people. Old guys. For the rest of us, the Tom Hartman Program here with you. And Shane, tell Danielle that my screen says Telos Active X operation in progress, network error, automatic connection reconnection attempt. An unexpected program was detected by the security mechanism. Whoa. Okay, it just went away. I'm rebooting my call screen software because I've got a couple of callers here I really want to put on the air. And Danielle's rebooting? Oh, geez. Okay. Well, maybe not. Tell her to hang on here. Let me just see if this is just on my end. And because this apparently I'm missing something here. No, I'm not showing any callers anymore on the line. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to quit out of the software. Danielle can redo it, and I will just riff for a little bit here. First of all, one of the most important, I think probably the most important unreported part of this story is that it's being aggressive of Cliven Bundy, this Nevada rancher. Nevada. Okay. This Nevada rancher. Who has failed to pay more than $1 million in fees. That these guys are screaming tyranny, right? And Americans for Prosperity has been creating graphics. They're saying that this is all about turtles. No, it's not about turtles. It's about you using the land and not paying for it. Shane showed me a piece earlier that came out of the Heritage Foundation, or a fellow who works for the Heritage Foundation, quoting Reason Magazine, a Koch brothers-funded libertarian publication, saying that there's no drought in California. What's going on is there's some little fish that the BLM or EDFDA, somebody shut down hundreds of thousands of gallons of agricultural water so that they couldn't irrigate crops because it was threatening this little tiny fish. And so the crops aren't growing, so it looks like there's a drought. Right? Because this land would be dry without irrigation. Right. So this started in 1993, basically, when Bundy refused to pay government fees. That's interesting because that's just, I mean, that was just 5 years after Ronald Reagan signed the law. However, it was the first year of the Clinton administration. You think there might be something there? Can I open my call screening software now? Okay, let's see what happens here. So it was the first year of the Clinton administration. So as soon as Clinton comes into office, oh yeah, we ain't going to pay the government. We're not going to go along with this tyranny. Okay. John in Sebring, Florida, you can explain the Clive Bundy thing?
Yes, it has nothing to do with tortoises and it has nothing to do with owed taxes. Let's start with the basic. If I eat a meal in your restaurant and I offer to pay and you say, "Oh no, it's okay." You can't come back a month or a year later and sue me for the price of the meal.
Okay.
Number two, if I hire a lawyer to do everything he can do to keep me out of jail, and I find out he's giving information to the other side and trying to get me in jail, I have a right to fire the lawyer, right?
So you're saying that Bundy was given permission by the government to not pay his fees?
Bundy bought, or his father or his grandfather bought the rights in perpetuity. Feed the cattle and water the cattle. That's what it's about.
On that land.
He can get all the cattle off the land, then he has no need for those rights, and all those rights to the land goes away from him and goes to the BLM. The BLM is trying to steal his land, and they've already got everybody else out. He's the last holdout. If they would have gotten him out, then they could have done something with the land that would be worth millions and millions of dollars.
So you're saying when Reagan signed this executive order in 86, he was breaking a deal that some previous president, presumably, because this is federal land, had made with the Bundy family?
Listen, he paid in advance in perpetuity. He doesn't owe anything
right.
to the state.
The word is perpetuity, but I understand what you're saying.
BLM.
So when
BLM
wait a second.
Him.
John, I need some information.
I'm trying
when,
to tell you, but you're
I know.
Talking over me.
No. What member of the family paid this, and when was it paid? And
it was either his father or his grandfather like 100 years ago.
Okay.
Or
and
in perpetuity.
Okay. And he's got that in writing.
Yes. What he
then,
supposedly.
Then why has that never been presented on Fox News or by the Koch brothers?
What he supposedly owes is the fees to the BLM. But the BLM is supposed to be helping him. The BLM is trying to screw him over. So he said to the BLM, you are fired. You're not working in my behalf. You're working against me. Therefore, I'm not going to pay for you to destroy me.
Very interesting. I really wish, you know, that their representative had come on this program. John, maybe he just did. John, thank you very much for the call. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-987-THOM.
By the way, if you think that a contract with the government in perpetuity is like a good deal, let me introduce you to some Apaches. The good, the bad, and the very, very new, nasturtiumly ugly, brought to you by the Organic Wine Company, EcoWine.com. The good, Montana's Smokehouse. On Friday night, the Avon, Colorado restaurant unveiled its newest attraction, the Rocky Mountain State's first medical marijuana vending machine. The machine, which is called the Zazz, contains a variety of different marijuana edibles, like pot brownies. All you need to do to use the machine is flash a valid medical marijuana card and then select the goodie of your choice. When you consider all the dangerous man-made drugs that are sold over the counter right now, it makes total sense to allow people to buy totally safe natural medicine whenever they want. Good on Montana's Smokehouse for helping out. The bad. Britt Hume. During an appearance on Fox News Sunday, the conservative political analyst argued that President Obama and Attorney General Holder have benefited enormously from being African-American. Take a look.
This strikes me as kind of crybaby stuff from Holder. My sense about this is that both Eric Holder and Barack Obama have benefited politically enormously from the fact that they are African-American and the first to hold the jobs that they hold. I think it is depressing at this stage in our national life, after all we've been through on this issue, and given the overwhelming consensus on the issue of civil rights, that this kind of stuff is still going on.
Benefited how exactly, Britt? By being made the subject of wild and racist conspiracy theories pushed by your network? From day one, the Obama administration, the right-wing media, led by Fox so-called News, has used racial dog whistle after dog whistle to rile up its mostly white audience. As someone from Fox, Britt Hume can basically deny that on live television and then accuse the Obama administration of playing the race card? Shows how insidious that network's propaganda really is. And the very, very ugly Mike Huckabee. During a speech at the Koch brothers' backed New Hampshire Freedom Summit this weekend, the former Arkansas governor said that North Korea, yes, that North Korea, might have more freedom than Obama's America. Check it out.
My gosh, I'm beginning to think that there's more freedom in North Korea sometimes than there is in the United States. When I go to the airport, I have to get in the surrender position. People put hands all over me. And I have to provide photo ID in a couple of different forms and prove that I really am not going to terrorize the airplane. But if I want to go vote, I don't need a thing.
Say what you want about the TSA, which, by the way, was created under the Bush administration. But it's nothing compared to the gulags and work camps in North Korea. And those voter ID laws Governor Huckabee thinks are so good, they make our country less, not more, democratic. So I don't know where he was going with that comparison. Comparing Obama's America to North Korea is just plain inaccurate, and at worst, just plain irresponsible. The kind of thing that makes the far-right fringe think it's time to raise arms against the government. And that is very, very mind-bogglingly ugly. Okay, Shane and I were talking. Shane, who's an actual graduate of an actual law school, and a fancy schmancy one, right? Sort of fancy schmancy. Said that it's not inconceivable that Grandpa Bundy could have had an agreement with the federal government to use some of their land, but that would not have been buying the land. It would have been an agreement to use, and such agreements are not willable. You can't transfer them to your heirs unless they're specifically attached to the land. And such things are pretty rare. So I don't know. We'll see. But I the question I asked, if Bundy is asserting that this, quote, federal land is actually his, you know, to paraphrase Donald Trump, show me the birth certificate. I mean, show me the deed. Right? Steve in Chicago. Hey, Steve.
Hello.
Hey, thanks for listening to WCPT. You're on the air.
Yes, sorry, you cut me off a little bit. I've been following this only because I thought it was a somewhat interesting story and that it tends to represent, you know, the larger divide that exists in this country. But, you know, you talk about people who don't have a leg to stand on. I mean, I think you alluded to one point I wanted to make a while ago, and that, you know, you can follow this story online or, as you say, on Fox News and other places. And the way that they have created this narrative, you know, it's the big bad government that's come in to victimize us, and it's only, a day away from this happening to you, my fellow citizens. This man is a multimillionaire, and these people who have come out to defend his rights to basically steal the common good, but he has no plans at any point to go ahead and sell the beef that he's going to grow there and has been growing there. At a discounted price to feed his fellow Americans. He's going to sell it at the market rate, having used the common goods as compared to his neighbors and other people in the same business who are having to pay for those fees. And as you pointed out, grazing fees are a joke compared to what it would cost to buy feed for your cattle. So you're already getting a discount, but that's not enough. Instead, you want to steal the land and the use of the land in order to subsidize your endeavor. Beyond that,
well, I was just reading this over at the Daily Caller, Steve, the right wing conservative site, and they said that Bundy says that he actually owns the land. But I would think if he owned the land, that he would post online the deed.
Exactly, or perhaps he might have been presented in one of the numerous court cases to
which he lost. He lost court case after court case after court case. All you have to do is walk into court. If somebody says that's not your land, you just walk into court and say, "Here's the deed."
Exactly. Now, people, you know, one of these nonsensical arguments is, you know what, it's some sort of grandfathered clause, either legal or a sort of extra legal in that, well, you know, his family was there 150 years ago and they've been utilizing land. Well, to that argument, I respond, if that's the standard we're going to use, then there are a few thousand Native Americans somewhere in this country who are entitled to that land because they used it about 10,000 years before Mr. Bundy's family.
Right. This was Shoshone land before Bundy got there. But here's the other question that I have. Reagan signed this presidential order in 1986. Bundy started paying in 86. He paid right up until 93 when Bill Clinton became president, and that's when he stopped paying. Why did he pay before and he's not paying now?
Oh, yes. Well, I think he figured out that, you know, if I don't pay and pretty much government threats are going to be hollow, I can go ahead and, you know, undercut my competitors. I don't have, you know, the overhead that they have. If I can you know, graze my cattle there, why not? But, you know, lastly, you know, Article 4, Section 3 of the Constitution, the Congress shall have the power to dispose of and make all needful rules and regulations respecting the territory and other properties belonging to the United States. In other words, if it is government, federal land, or state land that either Nevada or the U.S. national government has dominion over, they get to set things like grazing fees, and they get to tell you whether or not you get to graze there. And if they decide to change their mind, guess what? You don't have a leg to stand on vis-a-vis the Constitution.
Right, because it wasn't your land to begin with. Steve, thanks for thanks for sharing that. Excellent point. Colleen in Albuquerque, New Mexico, listening on KABQ. You have an explanation for the Bundy thing?
Well, my husband was reading some articles this weekend. He reads those things, Drudge Report, Fox News, The Blaze. I don't know what he was reading it on, but he was trying to explain to me this story that was going on. And it wasn't an explanation about why they hadn't paid for the last 20 years, but why anybody cared about it now, which the explanation was supposedly that Harry Reid was letting a Chinese solar corporation set up shop on that land. Now, I didn't have a problem with that, except I thought, well, why is it a Chinese one? Why don't we have American solar companies setting up shop here? And I don't
think
know
if there was any first of all, Harry Reid is not a state official. He's a federal official. So he has no authority over Nevada. He would have to pass something through the legislature. And I doubt the Republicans who control the House of Representatives would vote for it. So Harry Reid can't be doing anything. He's not the governor. It would have to be, what is his name? Sandoval is the governor there? He's a Republican?
Yeah, I don't know. Who?
I think his name is Sandoval. Whatever his name is, the governor of Nevada would be the one who would have the say over something like that, and he's a Republican, unless it's the BLM, in which case it would be the Obama administration. But Harry Reid's got nothing to do with any of this.
And I believe you, but somewhere in that article, they were putting a political spin on it, blaming Harry Reid.
Oh, yeah, of course.
For this fiasco, and it had to do with, and it was...
Well, I've read three right-wing articles.
Corruption.
Yeah, I read three right-wing articles during the break at the bottom of the hour. I went over to Drudge, I went over to Daily Caller, I don't even want to name all the sites here, but I hit a bunch of right-wing sites, and I read all the articles I could find on it, and all I could find was either... that, you know, he's asserting that the BLM is wrong, that he's wandered into federal land, or he's asserting that he's had the right to use these federal lands for years and years and years, and he shouldn't have to pay this damn fee that Ronald Reagan slapped on it in 1986, even though he apparently paid it for 5 years. And I think the earlier point that this guy is a multimillionaire, somehow that completely gets lost in the right-wing narrative, that a multimillionaire does not want to pay the fee to fatten his cattle that he's going to sell to compete with other farmers who all are paying the fee. And somehow this has to do with freedom?
And I agree with you.
What am I missing?
The fee isn't nearly high enough to begin with because it doesn't come near to repairing the damage that those cattle do on that, you know, very sensitive land to begin with.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this is not land that originally had cattle on it. It had Shoshone on it. And, you know, which gets us back to, you know, anybody who wants to assert a document from the early founding of America, you know, I suspect the Shoshone have some treaties that might even preempt that. But anyhow, Colleen, thank you for sharing that with us. I appreciate it. We'll be back. We're trying to figure this thing out. What's going on in Nevada? More of that right after this.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
Maybe it has to do with an alien landing site that the government wants to site there to bring in the pigeons. No? You don't think so? Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. And let's see here. Robert in Quamado, New Mexico. Hey, Robert. Watching Free Speech TV on Dish.
I've called a few times. You should know how to pronounce it by now.
I still didn't get it right.
Kumato.
Kumato. Okay. You got it.
Kumato.
Kumato.
Okay. Anyway, I was watching just by chance. I scanned and I saw when this story broke on Fox News with Hannity, and they interviewed Mr. Bundy. And they also showed a clip of Mr. Bundy at kind of a town hall meeting, and he was speaking about it. And his total beef is that he's not going to pay the federal government. And he said, his quote was, and I'll paraphrase it or whatever, but he said, he's not going to pay the federal government because it's about state rights. And,
states' rights?
Totally. Yeah, states' rights.
But the federal government owns the land.
Well, that's what's so, you know,
weird,
chaotic right? about the whole thing.
Yeah.
But
that's like saying that, you know, I get to walk away with anything I want from the Smithsonian gift shop because it's about states' rights.
Well, right. This is disgraceful. And he watches Fox News all the time. He talks to Hannity like on a first name basis, and it's hatred of the federal government and the government, which they've been feeding that for, we all know, on Fox News for the right wing doing this for a long time now.
Well, it goes back to the Nixon administration when Roger Ailes was working there and proposed GOP TV, and Richard Nixon couldn't come up with the money, and Roger finally found a billionaire in Rupert Murdoch and created, you know, Fox so-called News. And their position all along has been, you know, get rid of government, less government, get government out of the way so that the billionaires can take over.
Yeah, they don't want any regulations. They want to do what they want, and this is a prime example. And I think it's so disgraceful. And I hope somebody, in fact, I was looking for somebody from the BLM to come on and explain what their point of view is, what's really going on. Because
yeah,
it doesn't
yeah we tried that too, Robert, and they're not doing media because, you know, they just don't want to pour gasoline on an already burning fire. And they know that if anything that they say, particularly in a fairly partisan venue like this show, will be picked up by Fox News, which pretends it's not a partisan venue, and turned into, you know, here's a conspiracy between the liberal talk show host and the, you know, BLM or whatever. I mean, you know, it's.
Yeah, right. Well, it's pretty obvious that, and it's out of his own words that, you know, he even said, and I'll say it again, he would pay the state, but he won't pay the federal.
Yeah, cool. Well, according to the article over at the Daily Caller, he would pay the county, he said, but he wouldn't pay federal. But it may be the same thing, or it may be the state as well as the county. But fascinating. It sounds like they're hitting all, you know, they're hitting on 12 cylinders here. They're hitting all the right-wing buzzwords. Robert, thank you for the call. We'll be back with more. First, we got to check in with Victoria, find out what's going on in the news, and then we'll get back to this Bundy thing. Stick around. Ten minutes before the hour. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. Let's check in with Victoria Jones with the Talk Radio News Service brought to you by goatsfortheoldgoat.com. And hey, Victoria.
Hey, Tom. Well, now you're talking about Clive and Bundy. Now, I'm sure you already know that Clive and Bundy is a cause for the BLM to be disarmed, saying that the feds are too well armed. Right?
Yeah, he gave them a few-hour deadline or something.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
like saying to the FBI, you know, drop your guns and come out with your hands up. Really?
Yeah.
So how is the administration? I mean, Bundy's got Fox News solidly behind him, and he's got, you know, right wing talk radio. You'd be astounded by the calls I'm getting on this. You know what people are, you know, the stories people are hearing, and he's got the right wing blogosphere going. How does the Obama administration play this? I mean, this was an executive order signed in 1986 by Ronald Reagan saying that if domestic animals are grazed on federal lands, there's a fee. Bundy apparently paid that fee for 5 years throughout the years of the Reagan and Bush administrations. But as soon as Bill Clinton became president, he stopped paying it and hasn't paid it since then. So,
yeah, it's interesting. I have to say, my rural Nevada talk show host, whose listeners think Obamacare is anathema and should be repealed, so that's where he's coming from, thinks that this is ridiculous. He says that, you know, it's only about $1.25 an acre, and thinks the man's a freeloader.
That's fascinating.
Oh, yeah.
Victoria,
ranchers think.
May I ask you for a small favor? We're trying to find a guest on this topic for both the radio show and the TV show tonight. Could you either email me the contact information for that person or else stay on hold after we get off and Danielle can get it from you?
I will. I don't know whether he'll come on, but I'll certainly give you the info.
Okay, great. Would you rather hold or you want to email it to me?
I'll stay on hold.
Okay, great. We'll hold you at the end of the show. So what else is going on in the world?
Oh, lots of stuff in Ukraine.
Okay.
There is stuff going on. Tension has been rising in Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
That's a bit of a dog bites man aspect of it. Nevertheless, things are going on. Today, acting President Turchinov had a conversation with U.N. Secretary General Ban Ki-moon in which he said that the people who are taking over government buildings in 10 cities now, I believe it is, in eastern Ukraine are government operatives of Russia, and that what he would like to see is UN peacekeeping troops in Ukraine, and he would like to see an anti-terrorist operation jointly run with Ukraine troops. which obviously is not going to happen because it would have to go through the UN Security Council, and Russia has a veto there.
Are you certain that Russia would veto that? I mean, it might be a good, nice way for them to demonstrate that this is, you know, local nationalist uprisings by people who are ethnically Russian and isn't being orchestrated by Moscow.
I think they'd probably veto it.
Yeah.
I suspect that.
That would look awful bad. It'd be very interesting. It'll be very interesting to see how that plays out.
It'd be interesting to see how that plays out. President Obama will be, if he hasn't already done so, will be calling President Putin within the next few hours. Spokesman Jay Carney said today that Russia's actions will come at a cost. Didn't say what that is, but did murmur about sanctions. He also said that lethal military aid for Ukraine is not currently being considered. EU foreign ministers said they decided to expand the list of those subject to assets freeze and visa bans. So that's what's going on in Ukraine. Prosecutors are charging the suspect in the murders in Kansas with hate crimes.
This is the guy who, in his television ads when he was running for the United States Senate, said that the problem with America is Jews and mud people. And he then went out. Now he has shot and killed three Jews, presumably Jews, people at Jewish
they're
centers.
They're not Jews. They're Christians. There's two Methodists and a Catholic.
Seriously? He just thought they were Jews because they were at a Jewish community center?
Well, it's really not clear because, in fact, the rabbi, a rabbi who is the rabbi for the police department, said to one media outlet that apparently he asked people whether they were Jews before he shot.
And they said no, and he shot them anyway?
Well, we don't know what they said.
Oh.
We don't know what they said.
So they might have said, none of your damn business, bang.
Right. He's a real piece of work. In a 2010 radio interview with Howard Stern, who is Jewish, Cross was asked who he hated more, Jews or African Americans, and he answered Jews 1,000 times more. Compared to our Jewish problem, all other problems are mere distractions. And then when Stern, who's a very good interviewer, prodded him to explain, he said Jews control the federal government, mass media, and the Federal Reserve Bank, and with those powers, they're committing genocide against the white race.
Right. He said virtually the same thing to our mutual friend David Pakman on the air. And David's got the video of that out if you want to check it out.
I mean, he's he's a piece of work. And I have seen the video of him in the back of the police car shouting Heil Hitler. I've seen that. It's in my tomorrow's news notes.
Yeah, he said Hitler was the greatest man who ever walked the earth.
That's correct.
You know, I thought at least if, as somebody who's a self-professed Christian, he would have said the second greatest man, you know, behind Jesus. But maybe he doesn't consider Jesus, you know, he's a deity, he's not a man or something.
Didn't,
I mean, who knows?
Didn't make the cut.
Who knows, yeah.
Didn't make the cut. A U.S. Army general today has denied clemency for Chelsea Manning and upheld the former soldier's 35-year prison sentence for providing secret files to WikiLeaks in the biggest breach of classified materials in U.S. history. Mm-hmm. That means that the court, it will automatically send the case to the Army Court of Criminal Appeals.
Okay. Which probably isn't a very optimistic thing either, right?
No.
Yeah.
No, not optimistic.
Victoria Jones of the Talk Radio News Service. Hang on the line here, Victoria, and I'll have Danielle get that information from you. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
It's always great talking with you about your Nevada talk show host. It'd be fascinating. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Hey friends, Tom Hartman here. Thanks so much for watching and listening to the program. The Tom Hartman program is brought to you in part by the following underwriters. Identity Guard. Count on us to help protect what makes you, you. WIX.com. Everyone deserves to have their own website. ITMTrading.com. America's source for rare coins and precious metals. BostonBeer.com. Boston Beer, maker of handcrafted beers. Geico.com. Providers of insurance. IdentityGuard.com, total protection. Quicken Loans, engineered to amaze. And EcoWine.com, your source for organic wine since 1980. These underwriters support our show, so please help by supporting the people who make this program possible. You can learn more at TomHartmann.com.
You're listening to the Tom Hartmann Program.
Welcome back. Tom Hartmann here with you. And we will get back to Mr. Bundy's situation in just a moment. And maybe the situation of the Shoshone as well. But last week on this show, Joe Madison was on just as he was about to get arrested in front of the Ugandan embassy in New York City. And I wanted to follow up on that and find out, you know, what's going on. We have all this sturm and drang about Crimea and Ukraine and whatnot. And to the best of my knowledge, maybe one or two people have died there. And but there are people dying literally every day in South Sudan as a consequence of a war that we may actually be able to have some positive influence over, or at least we can stop other countries associated with us from having a negative influence over. And Joe, God bless him, has been pointing that out. Joe Madison, host of the Joe Madison Show on Sirius XM weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on channel 110. For those of you who listen on Sirius XM, be sure to check it out. His Twitter, at Black Eagle Power. The website, of course, joemadison.com. Joe, welcome back.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Tom.
So, Joe, give me an update. First of all, for people who might not have caught it on Thursday or Friday, you know, what happened, and then an update on what's happened since then.
Well, on Thursday, a group of South Sudanese wanted to get as much attention as possible about the atrocities that are taking place in this new country, South Sudan, which is the newest country on the continent of Africa. Actually, it's the newest country on the planet. I actually attended the flag-raising ceremony when literally scores of countries, including the United Nations, promised and pledged whatever support it would take to make this country work, financial support, you name it. But what has happened is there has been a power struggle between the current president, Kiir, who was up for re-election, and then a rebel group of a different ethnic group challenged that election, and all hell broke loose. And what I mean by that is that, as you know, the Dinkas are the majority ethnic group. The other group felt that the elections were unfair. There was a power struggle that pursued, and literally neighbors began killing each other, began going through villages, and in Juba, where you've been, it's a, for all practical purposes, an urban area, they were going door to door, extracting women and children and family members from their homes. As it stands today, there have been over 10,000 people killed in South Sudan, and there are 2 million people that, in fact, are without homes. They're out in the bush of South Sudan.
Wow.
And the argument was that there has been very little attention. And so I joined with Simon Dang, who we went to South Sudan with. He has had, if I'm not mistaken, 8, maybe 10 of his family members that have been killed in the Upper Nile. And he just wanted the administration and the United Nations and other countries to start paying attention to this. The United States probably has more influence than any other country in terms of its financial support, in terms of being able to put pressure on the rebel group and the current president and his military. So what we did was to go to the Ugandan mission, which shares where the South Sudan government shares office space, and we submitted ourselves for arrest. We, in essence, were arrested for trespassing, and we were taken into custody last Thursday in New York City. Now, what has happened, Tom, since then, actually before our arrest, I notified the Obama administration that I was going to be arrested, that I was in South Sudan along with Susan Rice, who at that time was with the administration in a different capacity at the United Nations. Pledges were made, and that something needs to be done. It makes no sense with all the attention paid to the Ukraine, and I'm not saying that that's not important, but when you have 2 million people that are now refugees on the verge of, and I'm not, this is not hyperbole, on the verge of starvation.
Yeah, you and I have been in that bush. It's not.
We've been. That's absolutely right.
It's like the Nevada desert.
Right, exactly. That's exactly right. And people going door to door, killing, people who are of different ethnic groups. The United States has an obligation. So the administration, President Obama, I believe it was 2 days before the arrest, issued a statement, signed an executive order threatening both sides with economic sanctions if they don't come together and resolve this conflict. But we went ahead with the arrest. My position with the Obama administration was, threats are, we understand, but it's now time to go beyond threats and take action. And that's exactly why we continued with the demonstration and the eventual arrest.
Did I read that the guy who's leading the rebel group, and it's interesting, you and I met Salva Kiir, the president of South Sudan. He was the leader of the rebel group against Sudan, when they split off.
Absolutely. He took John Garang's place, who had died, some people say, mysteriously after he had been elected president.
Right.
And Salva Kiir became the leader
right.
of the of
and is the rebel. Is the head of the rebels against Salva Kiir was he the vice president of the country or something?
Yes, that's absolutely right. He was the vice president of the country. Absolutely.
So this is almost like when Jefferson went against Adams back in the 1790s.
Except Jefferson and Adams didn't go to war.
Yeah, well, they damn near did, but yeah.
You're right. It's politically, it's the same thing. You're absolutely correct. Except Jefferson and Adams didn't go to war. These guys went to war, and the danger is, unlike the struggle that went on for 25 years between the Sudanese, which were primarily housed in Khartoum in the north, they had to travel great distances to fight this war that went on for 25 years.
And they eventually lost.
And they lost. These individuals live next door to each other.
Right. To what extent are these?
They're neighbors.
Yeah.
They in essence share the same space, which makes it even
more problematic.
Dangerous.
Yeah.
Right.
Joe, we have just a minute left before we hit a hard break here. But to what extent is this a tribal conflict? And have these tribes intermarried? And is that kind of the situation on the east side of Ukraine kind of thing?
Well, I'm not certain if all this intermarriage takes place. I suspect that it happens. There's no ifs, ands, buts about it because people, again, are very close.
Sure.
They were allies. They fought for 25 years together. This seems to be, in all honesty, Tom, a power struggle between, the best metaphor I could come, two lions.
Yeah.
Two men who want control. One, Salva Kiir, who wants to maintain control at all costs, and then the vice president,
who has a rebel group who wants to wrestle control.
And we need to step in and say enough already.
Oh, that's absolutely right.
Joe Madison, you can read all about it over at joemadison.com. Hang on just a second, Joe.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Joe, thank you so much for being with us. Keep up the good work.
Anytime. I appreciate you doing this. Most people aren't doing anything, but, you know, I do know the African media has really picked up on this. And
we got to keep the word going. Thank you. Welcome back. And Paul in Lucerne, California, you wanted to comment on the Bundy situation out in Nevada.
Yeah, Tom. Well, here's the reason the Koch brothers should be interested in. They don't pay any fees for mining on public lands right now. They owe the BLM millions and millions of dollars.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
How do you know that?
I saw it on a Free Speech documentary. I archived it, so I have it. I forget. I think it's This Land Is Ours or one of them. I don't remember which one it was. But I saw it on a Free Speech documentary, and the reason why I archived it and put it in my notes is I'm going to put it in a book.
That's very interesting. If you can give me a link to a website, of course, it should be fairly easy to Google that or DuckDuckGo that to find out.
Well, I'll look it up for you right now.
Yeah. You know, any evidence that the Koch brothers are basically doing the same thing, only with regard to oil rather than cattle. Although the Koch brothers also have cattle holdings, you know, apparently. I'm reading the court order here. I've got the U.S. District Court, District of Nevada. This is the court docket number. It's a whole long number. Anyhow, factual background. This case arises out of Bundy's unauthorized and unlawful grazing of his livestock on property owned by the United States and administered by the Department of Interior through the Bureau of Land Management and the National Park Service. On November 3, 1998, the court issued an order permanently enjoining Bundy from grazing his livestock on the Bunkerville allotment and ordering to remove his livestock from the allotment no later than November 30, 1998, and pay damages to the United States in the amount of $200 per day per head for any remaining livestock. September 19, 1999, after Bundy failed to comply, they issued a second order directing him to. Notwithstanding the court's orders, Bundy continues to graze his cattle. Thus, the United States seeks a third order declaring that Bundy has placed or allowed his livestock, you know, et cetera. And the legal standard is pretty straightforward. The discussion here, uncontested evidence, demonstrates that Bundy continues to violate the court's 1998. Bundy himself admits to grazing his cattle on lands both inside and outside the allotment in contravention of the court's orders. In addition to his admissions, the United States has presented an abundance of evidence documenting Bundy's continued grazing. And there's a footnote at the bottom of page 5. It says, disposing of Bundy's arguments that the court does not have jurisdiction and that the public lands in Nevada are not the property of the United States. That's interesting. So that's one of his arguments. And rejecting Bundy's defenses as to the court's jurisdiction, the United States ownership of public lands in Nevada, the United States authority to sanction Bundy for trespass, and the inapplicability of the Nevada Constitution and Nevada statutes. So this guy is like, he's pulling out the sovereign citizen stuff. Have you found, Paul, have you found that that link to the Koch brothers and the oil? Say what?
Blood and Patriots. I saw it on the documentary Blood and Patriots.
Blood and Patriots. Okay. I can't dig through a documentary, but maybe somebody can track it down. Shane's on it. We'll get the chat room on it. Thank you very much, Paul. Thanks for watching Free Speech TV on Dish Network there in Lucerne, California. We will be back. It's 20 minutes past the hour. Looking at the Twitter feed here that mentions Tom_Hartman, @Tom_Hartman. Green Dems has a whole bunch of interesting tweets here. Dan Rich, 66, also some good ones. And then in our chat room, Marian Delgado has put up some links. Camp Luna Linda. That's about the Planetary Peace Movement. Here we go. Linda Joy. This is a matter of fairness and equity, and we remain disappointed that Clive and Bundy continues to not comply with the same laws that 1,600 public lands ranchers do every year, Corns said. After 20 years of multiple court orders to remove the trespass cattle, Mr. Bundy owes the American taxpayers in excess of $1 million. The BLM will continue to work to resolve the matter administratively and judicially. Very interesting. 16,000 Americans. Donna in Albuquerque. Hey, Donna.
Hey, how are you, Tom?
I am well. You have some thoughts on this?
Yeah, I sure do. I have a couple of points. I've been watching the live stream on Saturday about this whole thing before it was taken down, and then it came back on, that there were 50 other ranchers that were basically went through the same hassle in that same neck of the woods, and that Harry Reid's one of his head staff guys is now the head of BLM, and Harry Reid's son Rory is a lobbyist for the solar company ENN out of China that wants to build a huge solar farm on this property. And now that just doesn't pass the smell test.
Well, you know, let's assume that that's all true.
Mm-hmm.
What does that have to do with this guy not paying for his, you know, he's fattening his cattle on your and my nickel since 1993 and refusing to pay for it? And that was long before Harry Reid's son was anything or any solar company even existed in China.
Well,
so,
this has been going on for quite some time.
That's what I just said. This has been going on since 1993.
And he claims that they're not representing him, and that money that he's been paying them should go back into developing the land and keeping the water and the fences up and everything.
The BLM's job is not to represent him. The BLM's job is to represent the people of the United States.
Right, and to also help maintain the BLM land, which this guy is claiming that they have done nothing but try and get him off this land.
Right, because they're saying that he has made modifications to the land that are destructive of it. He has put in two watering holes in there and screwed up the local ecology pretty badly, and the BLM's position is he's damaging the land.
Well, the BLM's position was also that he was damaging turtles, and then when that didn't fly, when they discovered that the BLM had been killing turtles, well, then it wasn't about the turtles anymore. Then it became...
It's never been about the turtles. It's always been about, you pay, you know, 16,000 ranchers in America pay the fee, and it's a very small fee. You're talking a buck an acre, buck and a half an acre. And this guy, who is a multimillionaire, and which is not pointed out on Fox News, this guy is a multimillionaire, and he was fine paying the fee when Ronald Reagan was president, when George Bush was president. As soon as Bill Clinton became president, he decided he wasn't going to pay the fee anymore. And then he goes to court, and I've got the court filing right here in my hand. And he goes to court in the U.S. District Court of Nevada, and he claims that he doesn't have to pay the fee, A, because the court does not have jurisdiction because public lands in Nevada are not the property of the United States, which is... which he says is unconstitutional. The Constitution explicitly says that the federal government has the power to administer and determine rules for federal lands. And then his second argument is that the United States ownership of public lands, their ability to sanction him for trespass on public lands, and the Nevada Constitution and Nevada statutes are all illegal. I mean, this is the sovereign citizen thing. I'm not part of the United States. I don't have to play by the rules. I'm a rich millionaire, and I get to set my own rules. This has got nothing to do with solar power. It's got nothing to do with Harry Reid. It's got nothing to do with turtles.
Oh, I think you're wrong on the solar power and Harry Reid and his son being alive.
No, that's the whole, you know, even if all of that was true, that's still all a crazy conspiracy theory. His neighbors took the BLM in 98 came in and said, We're changing the rules. We're changing the boundaries on this stuff. This has all been federal land all along. So they can decide this anytime they want. We're changing the rules and we're changing the boundaries. And here's some money. You know, we will compensate you for this. And everybody else took the money and moved their cattle back. And this guy said, no, I'm not going to take your money. I'm going to keep grazing my cattle. And by the way, I'm not going to pay you anymore.
Well, this has become a real interesting conundrum here, because when I see 82 Fed cars leaving the vicinity after they had pointed guns at American citizens who were there in protest.
You don't think those federal officers were American citizens?
Oh, I'm sure they were American
citizens. And they're representing, Donna, you and me.
Well, they may be representing you, but as far as I'm concerned, whenever the federal government has got something to do and they're pulling weapons on American citizens, they need to drop.
So you have no problem subsidizing Mr. Bundy's use of your land. You have no problem with him becoming a multimillionaire fattening cattle on land that you pay your taxes for, that is owned by you in part, and not paying you the $1.50 per acre per year fee. You have no problem with him ripping you off.
I have a problem with that. Anytime someone, whether it's the government or an individual, is trying to fatten their wallet.
Well, that's what Bundy's been doing for 15 years, 20 years here. I don't understand why you're defending him.
Well, I'm not defending him. I'm appalled at the fact that the federal government was out there withdrawing weapons and there wasn't a better way.
This is after three court cases
and
three different times that they have asked him to move the cattle. And finally, they organized the federal government at our expense. You and me, we paid for this. They hired a bunch of cowboys to go in and move his cattle off that land. And that's when he got a bunch of guys to show up with guns and threaten our representatives. And somehow that's okay?
It's an ugly mess, Tom, and guns are not going to settle it. That's for darn sure.
Yeah, well, I'll agree with you on that, Donna. Donna, thank you very much for the call. And thanks for watching the Albuquerque. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-987-THOM.
It's really fascinating how the whole Fox News spin has been able to drag Harry Reid and all this, solar and everything, turtles. Helping you with the water cooler wars, Tom Hartman here with you. Boy, the more I read about this. Okay, nailing this thing down. Again, I have this court order, November 3rd, 1998. At that point, the court said to Bundy, you can't even pay a grazing fee anymore. You just have to get your damn cattle off the land. We need to reclaim this land. We need to let this land recover, turn it back into, wild land, in part because it was the habitat of this desert tortoise. Whatever, they did this with a bunch of other farmers too. All the other farmers moved. Bundy said, no, I ain't moving. So they said, okay, fine. The fine is $200 per head per year. Maybe it wasn't even per year, per day. $200 per head per day. So since 98 until today, he's not been paying. And the Bush administration apparently chose to ignore this. Although it looks like the courts were still, even during the Bush administration, the courts were still doing this stuff. Yeah, 2005. No. The Bush administration did not ignore this. They just didn't actively go in. But he, this guy has been in contempt of court since 1998. This has nothing to do with Harry Reid's son. This has nothing to do with Chinese solar companies. And to the extent that this might have to do with the desert tortoise, that may have something to do with why the Bureau of Land Management decided that this land was not appropriate for cattle to be grazing on. Cattle create a whole lot more damage than they pay us a buck and a half an acre a year, and it costs us $10 or $15 an acre a year to reclaim. But in any case, since 1998, the reason doesn't matter because the Constitution gives the federal government the ability to administer federal lands any way they damn well please. And in 1998, the federal government said to Mr. Bundy, get your cattle off our land. Get back on your own ranch. And he said no, and he's been in contempt of court ever since. And there have been three contempt of court citations against him. I find it just totally bizarre. Rena in Albuquerque, listening on KABQ. Hey, Rena, what's up?
Hey, Tom. So Bundy is an interesting guy, but the other interesting part is why these guys showed up with their guns. And
because there were cameras.
Yes, but there's also the emotional component of what sets people off. And I think there's something to be said about once big money comes in and the legislature, law enforcement falls into line, that bullies feel empowered.
I don't understand.
So already the legal system seems to be backing off of these guys. We're going to withdraw. We're going to just, you know, calm down, you guys. This would not have happened if this had been a left-wing kind of thing, but it was backed by...
if this had been the Occupy movement, they would have been pepper spraying them.
Yeah.
Well, they did taser this guy's son. But, you know, when he was... Apparently, he was attacking or running at some federal agents. But
I'm saying, like, big money is behind this whole setup, so the bullies feel empowered to show up with their guns.
I see. You mean, in other words, Americans for Prosperity, the Koch brothers group, you know, doing the whole PR campaign on this thing, and then Sean Hannity and Fox News being their mouthpiece and promoting it. That's the big money that you're talking about. And that makes him feel like he can continue to defy the law.
That plus in-state money floating around makes lawmakers and law enforcement want to back off.
Yeah, I think they're trying to back off because they don't want another Ruby Ridge or Waco. They don't want another situation.
Maybe both.
Yeah, I don't think the Obama administration wants to have any blood on its hands with regard to this. And God forbid we end up with another martyr. It's really remarkable. Rena, thank you for sharing your perspective. It's much appreciated. Carlana in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Hi. I'm calling about our hero, Senator Bernie Sanders, who went up against the Koch brothers this weekend. On Saturday in Manchester, there was Americans for Prosperity, and they had Cruz and Trump.
Yeah, this was the New Hampshire version of the Shelley Adelson thing earlier in the week in Las Vegas. You know, come visit
right.
The billionaires and tell us why they should give you the money to become president.
Right. In the same town in Manchester at the Institute for Politics, Senator Bernie Sanders was conducting a town hall meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And both events were covered by C-SPAN. And Bernie Sanders gave a terrific speech. I mean, it's worth, I think I'll see if I can get it from his office. It was so good. And my thing that I would like everyone to contact C-SPAN is to say, we want Bernie Sanders to have equal time in terms of hours, because I talked to a person at C-SPAN earlier, and he said, well, they would show the one event five times and maybe show Bernie Sanders five times. Well, they'd already shown it twice, once at 10 p.m. and once at midnight. And every time you flip on C-SPAN, you see this event that the Koch brothers had paid for. So I think if we would ask C-SPAN to show as many hours of Senator Bernie Sanders' speech as they're showing the speeches of Tom Cruise or Tim Cruise or whatever his name is.
Ted Cruz.
That we should ask for equal time in terms of hours, not equal times, but equal hours.
Yeah. Okay. Carlana, thank you. I'm with you. Judy in Wyandotte, Michigan. Hey, Judy.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call. A little bit off topic here, but timely for tomorrow, so I wanted to get a brief word in. I am a volunteer with the group Represent Us.
Mm-hmm.
The website is represent.us.
Right.
Tomorrow is a day of action. We're calling for a day of representation. We all pay our taxes tomorrow, and the next morning we will wake up with no representation in Washington because our representatives are bought and paid for by, you name the special interest.
Yep.
Corporations, unions, whoever the biggest donor is, that's who owns the votes. That's how our system has become.
Yep.
And it's
and you can thank the Supreme Court for
own.
That.
They have made it worse every step of the way. But the time is that the message of this group is that we don't have to wait for Washington to change itself. It's not going to happen. But we as a people can come together, and tomorrow I'll be in front of the post office with fellow activists getting signatures on our petition for the American Anti-Corruption Act, which will restrict payment from lobbyists. It will restrict taking donations from industries that you, if you're on a banking committee, you can't take money from the banksters. That's just
Good luck with that, Judy, and represent.us, the website. I don't know the group personally, so I can't endorse it, but
it's a nonpartisan group. It's got a ton of great people. It's two constitutional attorneys wrote the proposed law. The website is fantastic. Anybody out there who wants to organize tomorrow can do the same.
Okay, you can check it out. Thank you, Judy. Terry in Silver Springs, Nevada. This is happening, the whole Bundy thing in your state. What's up?
Well, this is not the first time this has happened and been in the news. Not like it's in the news now. The Dan sisters, I don't remember the year, but what the federal government did with them, it took them a couple of years. They came in and confiscated all of their livestock. They certainly didn't hire cowboys to herd them back onto their property.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Nevada ranchers just think they own all the public land, and the rest of us can just, you know, forget about it.
Yeah.
It's really kind of a rude attitude they have.
Well, and this, you know, multimillionaire Bundy family apparently thinks that, you know, court orders don't count. Thank you, Terry. Thanks for sharing that. Robin in Dolan Springs, Arizona. Hey, Robin.
Hi, Tom. Nice to chat with you.
Thank you.
Basically, you've addressed what I was going to say in reference to the Bundy Ranch situation. Briefly, I was going to bring to your attention that I live in northwest Arizona. And we have free range out here.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, I suspect that's what the rancher himself was basing all of this on, is it used to all be free range all the way back from when they were driving cattle to, you know, north and south. But as far as, and then you had brought up, so that was going to be my suggestion. Maybe that's why he feels he should still stand on
that. Right. But then Ronald Reagan changed the rules of the game in 86, and then the BLM changed the rules of the game again in 98 because it's federal land and they have the right to do that.
And you had mentioned something that brought to, and I have notes here of, because I called you a couple days ago and didn't get through, but you mentioned something about the, him being able to take advantage of our collective country at no expense to him, which, yes, absolutely is unfair. I wanted to share with you that if we hit a cow out here, we are responsible for the cow.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So if you hit a cow with a truck on public land and the cow is grazing, you owe the cost of that cow to the rancher?
Yes. Even if it just jumps out, say it's nighttime and, you know, it jumps out in front of us because it's constantly crossing our highway here.
Oh, that's interesting.
If they jump out in front of us and there's no way that we can react fast enough to keep them hitting it, it's still our responsibility, not the cow.
Interesting. Robin, thank you for the call. Thanks for the, you know, it's fascinating. You know, property rights, how they all work and all sort of stuff. We'll be back. It's 15 minutes before the end.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
So how do you go from defying a court order since 98 to Harry Reid and Chinese Sun? Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. Gail watching Free Speech TV in Las Vegas. Hey, Gail, what's up?
Hi, Tom. I wanted to talk to you about the Dan sisters. Somebody just mentioned that.
Mm-hmm.
And several years ago, these Western Shoshone grandmothers did have their livestock removed by the BLM. But the Western Shoshone have claimed their land here in Nevada for 10,000 years, and they didn't feel that they never sold it or ceded it to the U.S., so they feel it's still their land. Once their livestock was removed, they discovered that George W. Bush had leased that land to a foreign gold mining company, and that's what there's great gold mine field under that whole part of Nevada. Now, as far as the Bundy thing goes on the other part of the state, that is Paiute land, and I would ask Mr. Bundy where his family got that land in the first place, because the Paiutes although they may not still claim it legally, that is where that whole area that they go for their spiritual renewal, and they are watching what we have done to it, the off-roaders and the target practicers, and just trashing that whole area of northeast Nevada, right near the southern Utah border in Arizona. And we have been trying to turn that whole area into a protected national park lands because it's some of the most gorgeous country on the continent.
Well, and this, excuse me, this is one of the, pardon, forgive me, this is one of the attacks on the Obama administration that is coming out of, actually, Jim DeMint apparently released this. Pardon me. Is that this is, you know, they're all going hysterical on Obama using the Antiquities Act to designate national parks. Apparently, they are asserting, they being the conspiracy theorists on this, that some parts of Nevada, here's the heart of the Great Basin, Nevada, there are thousands of petroglyphs and stone artifacts leading back to 12,000 years ago, et cetera. And this is one of the sites that is on the schedule for possible consideration for a national park. That's one I see in Nevada. I don't see where the Bundy Ranch might be, though. But, you know, one of the arguments is that this is also part of Obama's land grab for public parks. And, no, it's not. It's actually not in here. But this, you know, I mean, the conspiracy theories from Obama wants to grab more land, excuse me, it's already federal land, to Harry Reid's son wants to lobby about it, to I mean, all of these conspiracy theories on the hard right are, you know, it's this toxic sludge that is being used to obscure the fact that this multimillionaire rancher has been ripping us off since 1998 and ignoring court order after court order after court order when all the other ranchers and the other 16,000 ranchers in the state are playing by the rules. And this guy says the rules don't apply to me. And for some reason, that's a good reason to show up with a gun in his defense? I don't get it. The Dan sisters, now, if they were Shoshone, I didn't know that story. And thanks for educating me on that, Gail. They may have a claim, but apparently they lost on that one. Gail, thank you for the call, and I'm sorry we're out of time. It's 10 minutes before the hour. We'll be right back. Clive and Bundy talking to conservative radio host Dana Loesch says, this is the sovereign state of Nevada. I don't recognize the United States government as even existing. That's a verbatim quote. But why would the Koch brothers get in on this? I think that the Koch brothers are in on this because there's a lot of national parks. I mean, they probably have some cattle interests out there, but really they're all about the oil. And there's oil under that land, too. Jay in Denver, listening on AM 760. Hey, Jay.
Just to correct a few things, none of these people in Nevada would be called farmers. They would all refer to themselves as ranchers.
Okay.
Unless they're farming for alfalfa in their bottom lands with water probably provided by federal government as well and subsidized one way or the other. They are charged. I come from an agricultural background in the West as well as an environmental background. They're charged somewhere around $1.50 to $2 per animal unit per month. An animal unit is a cow and a calf, defined as a cow and a calf.
Okay.
And there's other definitions for sheep and horses and so forth. It applies. The Taylor Grazing Act is primarily the reason that they have grazing rights on these lands, and what they obtained way back when, usually through political connections, was the right to lease the land.
Mm-hmm.
And that we, the taxpayers, we, the owners of that land, that public property,
hire, have in our employ BLM representatives and Forest Service representatives. The Forest Service also administers the national grasslands. The history of this dispute goes back to the late 1800s, the early 1900s, and finally in 1934, the act called the Taylor Grazing Act was passed. A congressman from Colorado got his name on it, and it wasn't necessarily really conservation-minded at that point in time. The ranchers hated it. Those people that were conservationists really didn't like it too much. But the money went, one-fourth of that fee went to local government. No, half of it went to local government. One-fourth of it went to improving the land. And one-quarter of it went to the federal treasury.
Mm-hmm.
The amount that they pay for the lease, for leasing that land, is annual unit month, and they are limited by the amount of time that they can leave animals on that land. Traditionally and notoriously, because we have so few employees looking over so many millions of acres of land, it is very abused, and that's what led to the Grazing Act and consideration of it in the first place.
So the Taylor Grazing Act in 1934 was really just a way, even though it was obviously a compromise if everybody was unhappy with it, it was basically a way of saying, okay, we're going to let you guys use this land. In exchange for that, you're going to pay a fee, and we're just going to make all this legal that used to be illegal.
Yeah, but it also led to guidelines on how much of the land could be, how long the land could be used, how many livestock could be put on that land, for what period of time,
right.
And the money raised from that would be used for the rehabilitation of the land if it were abused. And the government reserved the right to say, no, you can't put 10,000 head of livestock on that for this grazing season, whether it's Forest Service or BLM lands.
Yeah.
You can only put so many, and this land needs to be rehabbed.
Right. I got it. Jay, I've only got 2 minutes left. I want to get a couple more callers in. You've made some great points. Thank you for educating me. I appreciate it. David in Halfway, Missouri. What's up?
Yeah, Tom. I saw a documentary here about 3 weeks ago, and why the Copes are wanting to get in there is because a lot of those Indian tribes are complaining because uranium mining, they're going to open up a lot of those lands out there because of uranium. And the documentary was all about that. You know, a lot of the Indian tribes are really complaining.
So the Koch brothers are in the uranium business, too?
No, they're in the mining business.
Okay. All right. Makes sense. Thanks a lot, David. Bill in Fort Collins, Colorado.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Good talking with you. Been a fan for a long time. The guy before was correct when he was talking about the cost that is charged is per cow-calf pair.
Right, and the Taylor Act. But what happened in 98 was that the federal government said to the Bundy family, get off this land altogether. We're repurposing this land. And they have the right to do that under the Constitution and under federal law. And he just said, screw you. I'm going to ignore your rules.
Well, I know that a lot of those leases were like forever leases.
No, but this is not. I've got the court papers right here in front of me. He never presented a lease that said that. He does not have one.
Okay.
He claims that because his family has been on that property all these years, that that's an implied lease, sort of like if you've been living with somebody for 7 years, you call it a common law marriage. But that's a claim that has been three times rejected in court.
Yeah, I know that a lot of them, if you look, ranches for sale, whatever,
mm-hmm.
they will list so many deeded acres and so many leased acres, and they actually sell those leases with their as though that they're their own property.
Right, but those leases are subject to change, and that's, you know, I've actually been through this up in northern Michigan. We used to own 80 acres in northern Michigan that ran along a river. And for that matter, the houseboat that Louise and I lived on in Portland was in a river, and we were leasing that land from the from the city, from the state, and from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. And all of those leases had provisions in them very clearly that said that they could basically change the terms anytime they wanted. So, you know, I get your point, Bill, but there's no such thing as a forever on these kind of things. Thank you very much for the call. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, don't forget, democracy is not a spectator sport. It requires you. Tag, you're it. We'll see you tomorrow.
You've been listening to Tom Hartman. For audio and video archives, go to TomHartman.com.
Hey friends, Tom Hartman here. Thanks so much for watching and listening to the program. The Tom Hartman program is brought to you in part by the following underwriters. Identity Guard. Count on us to help protect what makes you, you. WIX.com. Everyone deserves to have their own website. ITMTrading.com. America's source for rare coins and precious metals. BostonBeer.com. Boston Beer, maker of handcrafted beers. Geico.com. Providers of insurance. IdentityGuard.com, total protection. Quicken Loans, engineered to amaze. And EcoWine.com, your source for organic wine since 1980. These underwriters support our show, so please help by supporting the people who make this program possible. You can learn more at TomHartman.com.